Welcome to Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. This is The View from Wayne America. From politics to education, from agriculture to business, you'll hear it all right here. Opinions expressed by our guests may not reflect those of this station. Now turn up your radio and enjoy today's View.
The View from Wayne America. Enjoy the view.
All right, Dan, back with you. As promised, Wes Blakey is with us, and he brought Joel Hanson along. I wasn't expecting Joel, but that's okay.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. How's Wes?
I can't do this alone.
Well, I don't know what
you're... There's too much pressure.
Yeah, I don't know what you're scared about.
we had a few street and zoning stuff, and so I thought, we'll bring Joel out since Cam's
here. Might as bring the guy that's in charge of all that.
There you go.
That makes sense. All right. I see we started, though, with another fireman.
We do. We have Sumaya Ibrahim. She goes by Sue. She was approved last night. That might bring it up to like 40s. It might be 43 or 44 on the department now. I think we can hold 46 or 48. Okay. So we're getting pretty full on the department. But these last few, a lot of college students. College students, the good and the bad is you've got fresh blood in there. They're obviously very energetic. You're probably not going to have them for real long. But Sue is a sophomore, so hopefully we have her for 3 years on the department and get some good work out of her.
Some people who graduate stay around like me.
Absolutely. There are those, Dan. And we like those. We like those a lot.
Oh, thank you, Wes.
No, we thank you for being here.
All right. Let's see. What's next? Looks like the trail was next.
Yeah, we city contracted with Leo Daly Engineering to do the collapse that happened this last spring on the trail.
Mm-hmm. South end of town,
To put it back to the original, I guess, about a $1.5 million project is the estimate. That will be bid out here shortly. The Corps of Engineers has to take a look at it before it's approved on their end, but the council gave preliminary approval for that last night. So I don't know if Joel wants to add anything to what they're looking at doing for the improvements.
Yeah, the section of collapse will be removed from the stream, and they'll have to remove the sheet piling, of course, that held that up that has fallen into the stream, and they'll bring in several tons of riprap. And I think that's part of the Corps' concern. They want more information on what would be in the stream bank for stabilization down below that sheet piling, and the engineer needed to do some calculations on that. So that's kind of what we're waiting for, so it should hopefully go pretty quick, but with the holidays and such, you never know with response time from the federal government. We're hopeful for early January we'll hear back and be able to start bidding the project out.
Okay, and maybe get that done next summer.
The hope is that segment can be done about the same time or even before the new 2 mile stretch of trail. So there'll be a lot of trail work next spring and summer.
All right, well, we'll look forward to that. All right, let's move on.
You want me to go?
Go ahead. You're looking at the whole thing.
Yep. We had a presentation by Kat Peterson from Northeast Nebraska Insurance. Has been our insurance agent for years and years. EMC is the underwriter for who we actually go through and claims and all that. But we stuck with the same insurance provider. They had a pretty good vetting process, I think, 3 or 4 years ago where they looked at compared prices to other companies and what they can do and what they can't do. And EMC is the kind of the premier provider for municipalities. And so they stuck with EMC then. And so haven't gone out through that process, in the last couple of years. But I think it went up, I want to say, it was a few thousand dollars. I mean, it's insurance. It's not going to go down.
This is property and casualty insurance.
Yes.
It's not medical.
Nope. And so you're looking at about I don't have the numbers in front of me, $360,000. I mean, it's a substantial amount, but we've got this is workers' comp. This is casualty. This is the power plant. So we talked a little bit about tornado stuff. If a power plant gets wiped out, we're going to get a check for $43 million from the insurance agent. So do we rebuild? That's a conversation we'd have to have. But we're insured. It's always on replacement value. So what would it be to replace today? Not what the building necessarily is worth, because we got some old buildings. But to replace that building to be the same square footage and all that—that's what you're insured for. Because if something like a tornado would happen to take out multiple buildings, we want to make sure we can rebuild and not have to take a bunch of bonds out to do that kind of thing.
Do you review that process every year and what you're going to, how you're going to?
Yeah. So, yep. Betty McGuire and I go through the detailed list of, we take certain buildings off. For example, we have the old street shop building down on Main Street and Clark Street, or whatever. It's in between the block there. That one we took off a couple of years ago. It's like, if that one goes away, we're not replacing. And because we could actually demolish it. We need to demolish it. So those are the types of things where you look through the policy and say, okay, we don't need to insure this building. We don't need to insure this. This one, maybe we need to up a little bit. Or you've always got new things coming on. Last night we mentioned we have a new 2019 police vehicle. Yeah. And so some of those types of things. So yeah, you're continuously reviewing it, but we just haven't gone out for an official bid process through all insurance agents. That's what I was referring to the last, 3-4 years ago they did that.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Let's see. Revolving loan fund.
Yep.
Comes up again.
Yes. Revolving loan fund through LB 840. We talk about not having money in LB 840 and we don't have much. So the money we have in LB 840 has been committed to certain projects, the ACE project and now Johnny Bird Brewing Company. But then we also are paying back, we're paying ourselves back. We have bonds, or we took notes, internal notes from the electric fund. So we have those responsibilities to pay that back. And so Beth told us last night, we're good with money. We could make this loan. It was a smaller loan. It was for $40,000, and it's for Greg Tachek and Johnny Bird Brewing Company to purchase the building they're in. They currently lease from Lucas Ricks, Mark Connitz, and so this will actually to buy that section of the building from them. It's two legal entities, or two legal properties, and so they will buy what I call the 1977 Fire Hall Edition, because that was the bays they put on in 1977.
So the area that Johnny Bird Brewing is located in.
Yep. So Greg will own that building now. I think he's planning on closing sometime in January on that.
All right.
So LB 840 is, there are very limited funds in there, but if you do have a project you're looking at, my advice is go through Luke Virgil with the Economic Development Office, and then he will work with Beth to see how much we really have and all that stuff. But don't let it be like we keep saying there's limited funds. There are, but still, if you got a project, go through the process and see what we can do for you to help.
Never hurts to ask.
Nope.
All right. Planning Commission next.
I'll give this to Joel.
I figured we'd be doing that.
So we had an application from Tom Jacobson that asked to look at the parking regulations in R5. And R5 is a residential district designed specifically for high-density populations, multifamily buildings, and the only area in town would be between Main Street and Lincoln Street on the north side of 13th. So we kind of refer to it as the Fat Cat property or the Pete Ice property. There on the corner is basically the only thing that's left to develop in that area. He's looking at some apartments, but he thought our parking requirements were a little strict for what he would like to see. So he asked we revert back to the old requirements, which was strictly one parking space per bedroom. And so the Planning Commission made a recommendation of full approval to the council, and the council last night had their public hearing. Not a lot of discussion from the public, and they moved forward, and they approved that on the first reading to eliminate. So all over town, the residential multifamily requirement would be one parking space per bedroom plus one per dwelling unit. So if you have three two-bedroom units, you have to have one for each person, so there's six, and then you've got those three units, that's three more. In Tom's case, now with the R5, he'd only have to provide the six, one for each bedroom. So we'll have two more readings of that ordinance yet, too.
All right. If anybody has any questions, you can call Joel.
That's right.
He'll give you more time, take more time to explain it more thoroughly.
Yeah, we sometimes even struggle how to write these ordinances. You have to really be careful that the devil's in the details, and we want to make sure that we're protecting the rest of the community. At some time when we have a request from one, we have to make sure we're mindful of what the repercussions of those changes can be.
Yeah, you don't want things to get kind of messy around town as far
That's
as
right.
people parking here and there and trying to park too many cars in one particular area and all that kind of thing.
And we heard a lot from neighbors of some of the apartment buildings in the past that parking is a concern. It always is. And so this is the way we address it through the code.
All right. So a couple more readings yet on that before it's finalized. Let's see. What's next? Municipal code. Title 15, land usage. That's all part of the same thing, I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. More than one item there. Okay.
So we had our public hearing and then the actual ordinance reading. So.
Okay. Got it. Okay, annexation next.
Well, we'll jump back to when Joel was talking, we had a public hearing, then we had an ordinance on first reading on the parking, and then the next one, I don't know if you're number 12 on there, that's what
I'm
have
down
now,
to 12, yeah.
Is ordinance 2019-17, and that was the Title 15 land usage. This was in a different chapter, so we're going to talk about moving buildings now, Dan.
Oh, okay. Well, excuse me. Go right ahead. Let's move buildings.
Okay. So this one came about from visiting with one of the trailer court owners here in town, are looking at potentially selling part of the trailer court to a developer that would look at some apartment buildings. But part of the issue is there's three trailers that need to be moved, and our moving permit process is fairly cumbersome. It was developed a number of years ago with concern with people bringing older structures into town, be it houses or mobile homes, whatever. And so the process looked a little cumbersome, and all they really want to do is hook onto the trailer, go directly across the street to the other side of the trailer court and reset the trailer down. So we looked at it, and we agreed with them, the staff, that it seemed like that was maybe a little cumbersome for what they were doing compared to somebody bringing a large house through the community. So we sat down, we discussed some potential changes, and right now there's like, I'm going to say 12, 13 requirements that each mover has to meet when they request a moving permit. And we have a list of exceptions that if it's a trailer house or manufactured home, they don't have to meet several of those. But if they do that, then there's other sections of the code in zoning that requires them, if they have to meet 5 steps when they set the house down. And so we looked at those and said, what are we doing? What have we not been doing over the last 10 years? What's reasonable? We modified some of those requirements. And then they had a first reading and a second reading of that ordinance. And this is the third and final reading. And then another trailer court owner came to us and said, I'd like to have some input. I have some concerns about what you've done here. And so we sat down, we looked at it again. And essentially what we did, we said, okay, if you're moving a trailer house or a modular home from one mobile home court in town to another one, we're going to get rid of all the extra requirements that were in there and basically let you reset that and treat it just like it never moved. So they'll still have to get a moving permit, but it's very limited. Basically, tell us where you're going to go with it, how you're going to get there, what date you're going to move it, and we'll allow that to happen.
Okay. You have some flexibility.
Yep. That's
going basically, by a case-by-case basis.
We realize that, you know, there's definitely a need in Wayne for trailer courts. That's a necessary part of your housing stock. But at the same time, we understand that a lot of those are aging and are trying to find ways to make the property more viable, maybe develop some of it, maybe shift things around. So this just is meant to allow the trailer court owners a little bit more freedom or ability to make some of those changes as things develop over time.
Yeah, the only thing I'd add is the major difference is that it's much easier to move from within the city if you're going to move something from outside the community in, then a lot more restrictions are going to come into play.
Well, I imagine there's got to be a lot of inspection going on of what if you're bringing something from out of town. You want that to be, you know,
right. And one of the comments was if you're already in town, if you already have a unit in town hooked to the city services, and you don't have a concern with it right now, why would you have a huge concern if it moves, you know, 3 blocks down? And so, mm-hmm. again, we have the concern with something that we haven't seen before someplace else where we actually go in and inspect on site. If it was, let's say it's 10 miles south of town, we'll go down 10 miles south and inspect before it comes here. So that's just a little bit different. Again, this, if it's in town already and we're moving it across the street or whatever it might be, we just thought limited restriction, you know, the restrictions should be limited.
All right. Well, now can we move on to annexation?
We sure can, Dan. And the last time we'll talk about this one.
Okay. Well, I say third and final reading.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Third and final on annexation, this is what we refer to as the Loggy property down south of the elevator. And then there's also a kind of a sliver of city property there, too, that the trail is on down there. So that has now become part of city limits.
All right. We're done with that one. And that, I take it that did pass.
It did, yes. Yep.
All right. What's next? Senior center.
Yeah, this is something that we talked about probably 2 months ago or so.
Right.
We rejected bids on this, having some concerns with fire marshal restrictions and some of that type of stuff. And council wanted stuff to be a little more, I guess, a little more robust on the planning side. And so we hired JEO to come up with plans and specs on this addition, and that passed last night. And so I believe January 16th is going to be bid openings and hopefully be awarded a bidder, a contractor for the January 21st meeting in the second meeting of the new year.
You want to mention briefly what that whole thing's?
Yeah, what it is it's a small little addition. I think it's like 13 by 14 on the southwest corner of the senior center. And it's going to house a new freezer for them and some storage space. They are very limited on their freezer space right now. Again, you got to remember the senior center was not built to be a full service kitchen, and it is a full service kitchen right now. So they've had to make equipment upgrades in the kitchen, and the kitchen's only so big. Right. It's a catering kitchen, and so we're trying to do whatever we can to keep them. I mean, Diane Bertrand does an incredible job up there. I mean, her meal count is soaring. I mean, it's always every year it goes up. She does a great job, and a lot of people patronize that place, and so we want to make sure it's the best experience for those seniors that are coming up there and eating daily. So this will really help her out.
Yep. All you got to do is think about the problems you have at home in your kitchen because it's too small.
Well, and yeah, let's say you had a kitchen for one, and now you've got a spouse and three children, and it's like, we might need to do something different here.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, so we'll be getting some plans.
Yes.
Worked up for that.
Yep. That should happen this spring to early summer, and be good to go up there.
All right. I know you promised her.
I told her by the spring, and I said the spring is June 20th, not April 1st or March 21st or whenever spring starts.
All right.
Got a little time yet.
Let's see. Poll agreement.
Yep. So this is a new broadband company coming to town. They're laying some fiber in the ground right now. And so how that's permitted is through Joel. He does right-of-way permits for boring and those types of things. And then what this needed to go before council is that we actually have now a pole agreement that they can attach to our poles in the downtown area. Very similar to American Broadband has the same type of agreement that you pay per year per pole to be on the pole. And then if anything happens and poles need to be replaced because something that you need upgraded, you pay for the pole, we can set it. And so some of those things are set up in the pole agreement, but kind of a formality, but it's competition to American Broadband and CenturyLink. The state is very, cable TV, for example, is franchised. You get one franchise per community. Internet is nothing like that at this point. I think the legislature needs to take a look at some of that stuff because, the trend right now is cable TV. There's not as many people on cable TV. They're getting rid of cable TV and they're going to internet-based programming. And so I think the legislature needs to step in at some point here and say, okay, this is how we're going to treat internet providers versus other providers. But it just hasn't been done yet. So I think it'll happen, and I think it will happen in the next couple of years.
Okay, so we're not looking at putting up new poles.
Nope, not new poles. They're just using existing poles. Yep.
Okay.
And getting a small little revenue stream from that.
All right. And the city gets something out of that.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Approving administrative service agreement with ICMA Retirement Corporation. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, that is the city employees minus the police department. The police department are with a different company, Emeritus. This is an agreement that's a four-year commitment that will be with ICMARC. We've been with them since 1995. We are signing an agreement, a contract with them, so we get a little better rate on the service fees or the expense ratio. I'm sorry, expense ratio on your funds. And so we met with them just a couple weeks ago and kind of hammered this out and thought this was a good deal for the city. So workers looked at this about a year ago whether they should go with a different provider or not and came back to ICMARC. And so we're continuing that same relationship with them.
Okay, so this is related to city employees and their retirement.
Non-police city employees.
Okay. Let's see. We're getting towards the end here. Action on the letter of intent directed to the Nebraska Department of Economic Development.
This is a first for the city of Wayne. We've never gone to this fund. This is money from the Quest Center, or the whatever it is now, CHI Health Center, old Quest Center, whatever you want to call it, CenturyLink, Pinnacle Bank, Ralston Arena. That money is there's a tax that goes into a fund, and your large metropolitan areas cannot use the fund. They they provide the fund, but they can't use it because they want to try to spread this out amongst the state. Well, the city of Wayne has never applied for funds. This is actually an intent to apply for a planning grant. And the thought right now is to look at the activity center and look to do some remodeling, major remodeling inside, free up some space maybe for some additional weight room. It'll be a planning process, so you're going to look at, well, does it make sense to add on to the facility, whether it be a larger weight room, youth room, whatever it might be? Do we add on additional gym space? And then the big one that people will come down very, very much in favor or not in favor of is an indoor swimming pool. And so that's something that they'll at least take a look at. You know, do you have space on your land to do this? Is it something that we can sustain and all that kind of stuff? So, again, it's only a planning grant, and this is just the intent to apply. So we would have to actually apply in February. And so there's a couple more steps that we need to be done. And then it would probably be a couple years later before you could go back to the fund for the actual implementation of your project. And so a lot of steps to be done yet. Don't think this is, oh, they're getting an indoor swimming pool. We're really far away from that one right now. But this is the letter of intent is that we will apply and we will look at some activity center type improvements.
Okay, so just basically
stay tuned. Yep.
Applying to maybe get some money some point in time for planning purposes.
That's about it. The letter stated a planning grant for about $20,000. The grant would actually be $10,000, and we'd have to put $10,000 in. So it's a small thing right now. The implementation part is up to $562,000. So you're talking real money if you actually start doing some projects.
Okay, last thing I see here, a couple of reappointments to the Wayne Community Redevelopment Authority.
Yep, CRA. They have, I believe, four-year terms. Three or four-year terms. I shouldn't have said four. It's one of those two. But Jill Broderson was reappointed. She is the chair of the CRA at this point. And then John Meyer was also reappointed as a business representative or kind of an at-large member of that group.
Okay, I guess you could briefly say, what is the CRA?
The CRA, it's really, what I call it, is kind of the economic development arm of the city council. City council used to sit as a CDA, but legislation allows you to be a separate entity as well. TIF projects have to go through the CRA. Actually, three times they have to go in front of the CRA. Because they blight and do some of that stuff in the community, they can purchase, they can sell and buy and sell property much easier than the city proper can. They can act like a regular entity. When I say that, you don't have to go through a remonstrance period and take bids and things like that. They are still subject to open meetings laws, and so everything's out in the open unless they, you know, are negotiating something and they go to closed session. But otherwise, they can operate like you and I can when we buy and sell property. That's probably the biggest difference between them and the city council.
Okay. Well, that's all on the agenda.
And they meet once a month, usually the last Tuesday of the month. This month, they're meeting on the 23rd at 4 o'clock in the council chambers. Open meetings. If anybody ever wants to come to a CRA meeting, they're more than welcome.
If you'd like to be on that?
If you want to be on that committee, talk to Jill Broderson or the mayor, because the mayor actually has to make appointments.
Is there mayoral appointments?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Anything else we need to know about things going on in the city?
I think we're good right now.
Okay.
From all of us, happy holidays to everyone, and drive safely out there. Scoop your sidewalks. What else, Joel?
Scoop your sidewalks is a big one.
Okay. Yeah. I think we're good so far.
Hopefully we'll have some additional melting the next few days, and all will be good.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Dan.
Wes Blakey, Joel Hansen, again, our guests today on The View from Wayne, America.
The View from Wayne, America.
You've been listening to The View from Wayne, America, Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. Opinions expressed by our guest may not reflect those of this station. From politics to education, agriculture to business, we cover it all. Program content is copyrighted by Wayne Radio Works, LLC.
The View from Wayne.